sometimes you need to think out of the box.
Okay.
To make things at work run smoothly.
Sure, sure, sure.
Although you could argue this is actually thinking inside the box.
Mm.
Because taking some time off to go on a vacation, spend time just lounging around the house, that's great.
Yeah.
It'll recharge your batteries.
Mm-hmm.
But what if your job gave you regular time for this?
Oh.
You're hanging out in the Breaker, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. We'll jump right into it. Companies worldwide have been trying to figure out what they can do to get their employees working as efficiently as possible.
Mm-hmm.
We shared with you earlier this week that about half of Americans admit they are burnt out at work.
Yeah.
And they define burnt out as physically and emotionally exhausted.
You tapped out.
Yes, dreading going into work every day, seeing no other way to make yourself happy. Like, it's over.
Case of the blues.
You hate it, but you got to keep going to work. And that's a legitimate problem because it hurts how people work.
Mm-hmm.
There is a new study that shows we can stop this.
How?
Company sanctioned sex days.
Say what?
You heard what I said.
Kind of. You
company
said sex?
Sanctioned sex days.
Okay. How does that work?
So an online pharmacy called Zip Health did a research project.
Mm-hmm.
They used everyone from Gen Z to baby boomers, all generations in between. And they worked with their employers
mm-hmm.
to give these test subjects scheduled days or time off in the middle of the week to go home and have sex.
Oh.
They found... 50% of the people who took advantage of this had a rise in their output.
I bet you they did.
Despite missing a day of work for only having sex.
So they went home and banged.
Yes. And the conclusion they reach.
A little afternoon delight.
Sex is the best thing you can do to fight work burnout.
Well, it is a de-stressor for sure, right?
So in this study, Tommy, they argue that burnout from work can affect your sex life in negative ways, which causes stress from home, which in turn negatively affects what you're doing at your job. And they talk about, Tommy, a vicious cycle, how you can't get out one from the other. So they argue when you give people time to just go home and bang it out, it not only helps your relationship, it gives you a clearer head. You're not thinking about the potential issues you could have at home while you're at your job. Does that make sense to you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it does. I mean, but a lot of things would have to, like, line up.
All right, give me an example.
Well, because, like, you know, your wife may not be in the mood when you get this day off type of thing. You know, saying, like, you know, same thing with you and her.
All right.
Might not be happening right then and there.
All right. Well, I mean, if you had a weekly scheduled sex day, let's say Tuesday was sex day. I got the day off.
All right, so you can prep it up.
Yeah, I mean, if you got kids, you're used to having scheduled sex days, sex times. You're making a face, like a scared face.
I just think that I'd be more worried about telling my coworkers that's what I'm going to go do. So if you need me, you're out of luck.
But I mean, so the idea.
And also, like, wouldn't just giving somebody a break during the week also do the same thing?
No. So they actually talk about in the study, too, that when they tried this and they gave people time off, they found that people went and did other errands.
Okay, but maybe that takes some of the stress out of your
day. No, but they're
day,
saying that the intimacy of intercourse probably is a stress reliever.
But that isn't always... Because, I mean, there are people that have certain issues around intimacy, you know what I mean, between them and their partner, where I would think that would cause more stress if you're forcing it and it's not working or you can't do it for whatever reason.
You're not wrong. And to be clear, it was 50% of people who participated saw a rise in output. So this isn't for everybody.
Yeah.
But going back to what you said before, Kimmy.
Yeah.
We have a bad habit as American workers when we are given time off to go do other things that stress us out.
Catch up.
I got to do. Exactly. Right? So this was a day. You're not catching up. You are going home and you are having sex.
Stripped down. We're doing it.
That is it.
Right. But I'm thinking, like,
I rub you. Now we're out of here.
What if sex stresses you out? Then you're just doubling down on the stress. Also, this would only work for, obviously, people in a relationship. Like, I would think it would add more stress to people who aren't going to do this because more work is now on their plate.
All right, so company-sanctioned sex days, that is the most massive flaw in this idea.
Yeah.
You would need someone to have sex with for this to work.
What if you just went home and took care of yourself?
That's what I said. Like, what if you
same thing, right? I mean, you don't have to have a partner. I mean, a lot of people aren't even in relationships at certain ages. What if you just went? What if you had a rub out day?
Okay, you could have that. You could have that, but
I mean, same thing.
I mean, it's not. You said no. You said it yourself. Well, it's the connection of intimacy with someone you care.
I know,
about.
But if that ain't there, you put on a little dirty stuff and you have a little fun.
No, there's another option: work sanctioned prostitution.
Oh, I was thinking about rub out rooms.
That's where I thought you were going to.
No, because you got, like, we got space all over this joint.
Who's going to clean that room?
I don't know.
You calling Derek at 4 in the morning? There's a banging down in the boiler and something happened in the rub out.
Yeah, we got a whole basement down there. You can have multiple.
Oh, I remember what I was down there, man. That's like a Saw movie.
Some guys are into that, you know, torture stuff.
For God's sake.
That's what she said.
Look, I understand that this is an out-of-the-box idea.
Yeah.
Right? And it sounds strange.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand.
No, I think it would work. I don't think it's the craziest thing.
I mean, Kimmy is anti this.
Oh, she's always anti it.
It's how bad she doesn't want to have sex with her husband.
I'm not anti this.
I ain't going home and doing
nothing. It's not going to work for everybody. And I think that they're going to be, because I'm just thinking, like, you know how there are certain jobs where people who don't smoke feel like the smokers are getting more time to themselves because mm-hmm. they're constantly taking breaks. Like, sure. I almost feel like people are going to look at this the same way if they don't have...
Smokers and pokers. Same damn critter.
If they have a coworker that keeps going off and taking these breaks when they're not getting them.
Because I knew a guy that used to do this all the time.
Would leave to go have sex with his
so
wife.
So every day for lunch, he would go home and like they were like into like some... crazy weird stuff. This is back in the 70s.
Okay.
He would come back sweaty and exhausted. Like, I don't know what they did for an hour, but man, it was rough. And he was like, I think like she like roughed him up.
Okay.
But he liked it.
Okay.
And I will say that like that guy came back so chilled out, but his cheeks were always so flush. We used to make fun of him, man. He looked like Reagan with that with those cheeks, man. But I tell you what, man, I guy's probably still alive.
252WCMF, an online pharmacy, did a research project to try and figure out how to fight burnout at work. They used everyone from Gen Z to baby boomers, everyone in between, and they gave these people at their job, in cooperation with their employers, days off to have sex.
Yeah.
A day off in the middle of the week to go home and have sex. And they found when it was all done, 50% of the folks who took advantage of the sex days showed a rise in their work output, despite the fact they lost a day of work for banging. So they were working more in the week despite losing a day of work. And they concluded in this study that sex is the best thing you can do to fight worker burnout, which is interesting because we talked earlier this week about how one half of Americans say they are so burnout at work, they don't want to be there anymore. 252-WCMF, Kimmy hates it. She's trying to pull Cole. She does not want to have Tuesdays off with her husband. Tuesdays with Kimmy, one of the worst novels I read in high school. Sam's on CMF. Hey, Sammy, how are you, buddy?
Same ending.
Hey, morning there.
What's
hey,
up?
So I'm driving in a plow truck all day long, so it sounds like this deal to me is I'm either plowing or I'm plowing, you know what I mean?
Ow! Oh, Sammy!
It also sounds like, do they have a control group of people that just took a day off to do whatever they want?
Yes, I believe they did, like yes.
All right, also... Did Tommy tell a story once about a guy he worked with who had a bucket he sat on, or did I dream that up?
That was probably your fantasy.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Can Tommy confirm?
I can't remember, bro.
Yeah, there's so many of those stories. Hey, Sam, please don't ever call us up and tell us what's in your brain ever again, please. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Been a long night on the road.
All right, Sam. Good. Okay, thank you.
Mm. What?
I am deeply disturbed by what just happened there. Hey, I think I remember a story about a guy touching himself, Tommy told. Nope, that must have been in my head.
I don't remember, but it may. Sometimes when you talk, when you tell stories, it jars old memories.
Sure.
It is weird how that's a story that most people would remember, but it's just getting lost amongst your other disgusting stories.
But you know, I worked with a lot of disgusting people. Hey, work in the Deep South for 15 years. You're going to meet some folks.
Bro, the most disgusting people you work with were in this room at one point.
Yeah, but I met a serial killer. A legit guy.
Again, in this room at one point.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
They just haven't found him yet.
Yeah.
252-WCMF. We're hearing from dudes who are plowing and plowing.
Yeah.
Kimmy, as the lady representative, does not like this idea.
Yeah.
Let's see if Bethany's into it. Hey, Bethany, you're on CMF. What's up?
Hi. So ask anybody that works from home if they take care of themselves during the day, and they will tell you that they will.
Okay.
So wonder if that has anything to do with work from home satisfaction.
Oh, you know, that's a great point. You know, with this whole battle now between, like, getting people back into the office, like, why are you laughing?
There is a different freedom that comes with that, to her point.
Why are you laughing?
Oh, rubbing Bethany.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, why would you not?
Bethany, you there?
I'm here.
Okay, I am deeply disturbed by what you're
really
doing here.
Stop doing that.
All right, Bethany, please stop talking. I'm going to talk to Bethany now. Thank you. Bethany, do you work from home?
I used to. Okay. Now I work in the office, and I'm much more stressed.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you some personal questions, if you don't mind.
Go for it.
All right, how old are you?
31.
All right, 31.
Oh, that's prime time.
I mean, yeah, you ain't kidding. All right, so Bethany, this would be something you would do on a regular basis working from home?
Weekly, okay. Every few days, yep.
Right. Now, was it something you planned, like you were going to do it on this specific day, or did the tension build to a point where it was like, I got to do this?
Just when you need a break.
Okay. And
so no set rubby time.
God, man.
How do you make everything so, even when you're not saying something gross, you're still saying something gross?
I was rubby time.
She can't see what you're doing with your hand either, but yes. The YouTube people can.
Rubby time.
All right, Bethany, do you have a partner at home? Were you living with anybody at the time?
Yep, they work in the office.
Okay, so they weren't home to do that stuff. All right, I got you.
Yeah.
Right, can I ask one more question? Because there may be a solution to a person that can't go home.
Mm-hmm.
Would you have considered, are you married, dating, what's the sitch?
I'm married, right. Yeah.
Would you have considered maybe a...
Set time?
Nope. Oh. Video session where either they got to watch you or you sent them something while they were at work.
I don't know, maybe.
Makes you nervous?
Well, it's more planning.
Well,
more
they
work,
could lose
their
job.
Because
okay.
It's also now it's a performance.
Yeah.
More than like rubby time.
Okay, stop saying rubby time. And I don't know if women are into the idea of a performance.
Yeah, but she's got to do her makeup. Everything's got to be set.
Yeah, I care about that. Yeah.
But she does.
Yeah, that's got to be planned. That probably has to be planned.
She's going to groom her cooch before she puts it on camera.
Oh, she's doing cooch grooming? One of my favorite Bee Gees songs of all time. Cooch grooming.
Grooming that cooch, Bethany.
All right, Bethany, I really appreciate your honesty. But I think that's a great point. That is a great point.
Yeah, the work from home is a game changer, I'm guessing, for most people.
Yep.
All right, go do what you were going to do to de-stress, Bethany.
Thanks. Bye.
All right, bye. There goes banging it out, Bethany. No, I mean, look, the idea that you wouldn't be able to go home and do this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many guys, if they got like a surprise like that in the middle of the day.
Oh, they'd love it.
It would change the outlook on the rest of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing what's waiting for you at home.
Yeah.
I mean.
Sure.
I wonder what percentage of women would be interested in doing something like that. Not the banging at home during the workday, but like, hey, here's a little present for you.
Like
from
middle
you?
Of the day.
From her. From here to you. From her to you. Every guy would do that if their wife asked for it. I'm saying from her to you in the middle of the day. You know what I mean?
I'm confused.
Okay.
So you would be, so how many women would be excited if a woman, her husband came home and wanted to do this?
Nope. Let me try this again.
Yeah, I don't know who's surprising who.
Let me back this up. I'm saying.
Okay.
All right. So a situation like Bethany's in, mm-hmm. where she's at home, her husband's in the office, she's going to take her, you know, once a week, me time.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, her husband gets a video of her doing what she's doing. How many women would be excited to share that with their spouse, where it would make it more exciting than just
I'm
doing it on their own?
I'm guessing it's more for your excitement than her excitement.
I understand, but there's also
I'm sure, like, I think once anything like that becomes routine, it takes the excitement out of it, right? Like, it would have to be a once-in-a-while surprise kind of thing.
But even the idea that he's like, excited to get this from me.
Yeah, being a naughty girl.
Yes, makes it exciting for me.
I would also, to her point, if I knew he was getting that at work, I would also panic, like, I hope nobody, like, I hope he opened this without anybody around.
Yeah.
Well,
you know
it's your
mean?
Wife. Of course you're going to go somewhere private.
Well, but I'm saying, like, if you don't know it's coming, and all of a sudden it shows up.
No, she's supposed to tell you the video.
I'd also,
that's not good? Rubby? Shut up.
I'd also be afraid, as a woman, if I sent this to my man.
Yeah.
And he loved it, right?
Yeah.
But then I start getting requests. Of other things he wants to see.
Well, yeah, Freebird. Do the Macarena.
You know what's going to happen.
Okay, what?
And she's not going to want to do all that. Like, she was happy doing what she did, but it would be really cool. And then.
But yeah,
you know how guys
think of all
get?
The idiots you worked with, too, that would play that volume, like, play that up in the bathroom where everybody can hear.
That's
like, I
point.
Would just not trust anybody with that
mental. Okay, I'm just trying to figure out where fantasy head is.
That is a loose nut in the workplace.
All right, let's take a break. You know, fun fact, you know that song was written about how Rochester feels about Tommy Mulay? I hate myself for loving it. Rochester, New York is a cornucopia of ethnic food.
Yeah, we got a lot.
Whatever planet, part of the planet you want to eat from, we have it here, and that's awesome.
Yeah.
Unless you don't know what you're doing. Because there could be some amazing chow that you would love that you are too intimidated to try.
Okay.
Unless you have a bridge person.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, somebody that
bridge person.
Well, we'll take you.
You got it. You're hanging out in the Breaker, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5. WCMF will jump right into it. And I think you can make, Tommy, the argument that the three most popular ethnic foods in Rochester are Italian.
Oh, yeah.
Chinese.
Number two.
And Mexican.
Yeah.
And it seems, in my opinion, that they are so popular because they are easy for everyone to understand.
And you don't even think of them as ethnic foods anymore.
You're right.
You just think of it as just part of culture.
Well, because most everyone can walk into those.
You grew up with them.
Yeah, three types of restaurants and understand the menu.
Yeah.
You know what to get. And that could be a problem for the newest addition to our Rochester food scene.
So who's coming in?
Cafe Manzara is now open in Brighton.
No, it's the cuisine.
They specialize in Turkish food.
Oh.
Now, the menu.
Like the taffy and stuff? I loved that stuff as a kid.
Turkish taffy? Is that
Turkish
a real thing?
Delight, yeah.
It was actually a candy when I was a kid.
Is that what is Turkish Delight?
I thought it was taffy.
Is it taffy?
Turkish Delight, I think that's a movie.
No, it was in the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Yeah. I think Johnny Carson was in the book.
Cafe Manzara and their Turkish food. The menu is described as lighter fare, Turkish specialties, and, you ready for this?
Right.
Turkish coffee.
It sounds strong, which I would like. When I hear Turkish food, I'm thinking lamb.
I was also wrong about this. The Turkish Delight.
What is Turkish Delight?
It's a jelly-like candy.
Yeah, look at that.
I was right.
So they have pictures of the food in the story they did on them, and it looks really good.
So I guess it's kind of Mediterranean.
It looks, but here's the thing. It looks good, but it looks foreign.
Different. Yeah, right, yeah.
Foreign.
It's got a look to it.
Have either of you had Turkish food before?
I don't think so.
Kimmy?
I don't believe so.
Outside of the taffy, obviously.
So that being said, despite the fact that this looks really good, it would be hard to walk into this place and order because, one, you wouldn't know what anything is called.
Right.
And, two, I'm not entirely sure if I'm actually going to like anything. So in this story, they show a pastry, Tommy. It's called a chikofta.
Okay.
I think I'm saying that right. And I don't want to look like an idiot.
What's in it?
I don't know. It's just I saw it and it looks
so it's like bread. Pastry,
it's like
you
a
said?
Pastry, but it looks like there's meat and like cheese in there.
That sounds good.
It does.
I'm pretty open to food.
But here's
the thing. Yeah, but how do you know what to get?
And I don't know if there's like, what about the spices and the meat that's in the pastry? Like, what if it's like a little bit, like not to my palate?
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
But I can't think of it. I've never experienced any new food that I didn't, like, oh my God, this is gross.
Like, I'm thinking with a lot of people who like sushi. Like, there had to be, like, a starter roll for most people. Like, you're not going to dive right into the eel rolls. But I'll
take a starter sushi.
Like, the tempura, like, fried stuff first. And then, you know what I mean? Like, there's always, like, a food that you try first just to, like, dip your toe into the cuisine.
I will say this. If you're a picky eater.
Don't actually do that.
If you're a picky eater, it's probably harder for you. Like, I don't really have anything I don't like.
Yeah, I hear you. He loves tomatoes, carrots, and fennel.
You forgot your mom. But you know, when I was fat, I ate everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did.
I hit it all.
Shut up. You already did it. You already did it.
Ate the whole thing. No, but you don't like a lot of fish. So, I mean, for somebody like you to go in there might be some stuff that you don't know.
Oh, yeah, that famous Turkish fish they have?
I don't know. Are they big fish people? They live in the water.
What body of water?
The Black Sea.
Oh, you're right.
And the Mediterranean.
Shut up. I don't know how turkey works.
Buy a map.
You're the dumbest person I know.
I know the Black Sea. It's been in the news a little bit.
What, you dress like you're Turkish yesterday, all of a sudden you're going to drop stuff on me?
I think I would like it.
All right.
I think you would too, because you like Jamaican food, which is spicy.
Oh, yeah.
You like Indian food, super spicy.
Well, I get the non-spicier stuff, but yes.
But yeah, so I would think you're in.
All right. The phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. Does everyone in Rochester have an ethnic food they want to try or that they think they'd like? But you are too intimidated to walk in and try it. Because here's the thing. We literally have everything here.
Yeah.
You can go to Ethiopian restaurants, Thai places, just a cavalcade of Middle Eastern countries that you could not find on a map. Mm-hmm. But they do lamb that is out of this world. That is, if you know how to order it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And even foods that have become more common can get complicated. For example, you just brought up Indian food.
Yeah.
It's a very common foreign food now.
Yeah.
But I never tried Indian food. Until I met my wife.
Yeah.
She introduced me to it.
And she ain't Andy.
She helped you. She introduced you. She did it. She kind of showed you how it works step by step.
Exactly. But no, here's the thing. She didn't, actually.
Mm. Oh.
If I'm not with my wife, I can't order Indian food.
Oh, really?
Food.
So you don't have something that's your go-to?
No. I do. I don't know what it's called.
Oh.
Not only has my wife always ordered Indian food when we get it. We've been married almost 15 years.
Yeah.
She will also, when she buys it, prepare my plate for me.
Oh, she fixes
okay.
it for you.
And then she'll blow bubbles in my chocolate milk to make me giggle. I don't know what I'm eating. I don't know what it's called.
Right.
I know I love it, but I'm such an idiot. Every time we get Indian food, yeah. I get so excited like a golden retriever that when the food gets laid out in front of me, I always forget to ask what it's called.
All right.
Every single time. And I think I'm going to die never knowing what my favorite Indian food is called.
Maybe you should write this stuff down.
No, I want to. Every time she orders it, I go, okay, I'm going to ask this time. And then it gets there, and I'm like, oh, and I hammer it. And then I eat too much, and I don't feel good, and I forget to ask her. Like, I could not walk into an Indian restaurant and order what I want. I don't know what it's called.
Oh, right.
Samosas, I know that.
Oh. Samosas?
But I don't know.
I think that's a drink.
No. Aren't the samosas the fried dumpling-looking
things? I thought that was like a dessert, but I could be wrong.
No.
You get your dessert first in India, I hear.
I know that the stuff that I like is some of it's green with cheese in it.
Oh, that sounds good.
Some of it's orange with chickpeas in it.
Right.
There's rice.
I know, like, all the curry stuff is delicious.
Yeah, it's good.
Like curry chicken, curry lamb, curry fish.
Yeah. Curry fish?
Oh, it's delicious. So that's how I got – so I never ate Vietnamese food until I moved here. And everybody on the old show used to go to Mavisan's. I knew nothing about it. So I just ordered what everybody else was ordering and just hoping this would taste good. And I got addicted to it.
But that was your bridge. Those were your bridge
people. Yeah, everybody went there for lunch. So, like, I'd never tasted it before. And that's when, like, Vietnamese food and Thai food was kind of, like, blowing up.
Mm-hmm. But, like, for Jamaican food, my wife was my bridge person. For Indian food, my wife was my bridge person. And had I never met my wife, I would have never had either of those types of foods that I love.
So it's kind of like me with you with alcohol. I was your bridge person at alcohol.
Yeah, the Irish Catholic kid from Gates. You were my bridge person.
I introduced you to a lot of top shelf stuff, buddy.
Yeah,
you...
we got to stare at it from behind the bar as we were ordering doers.
Top shelf when I was a kid.
I also don't want to be the person, if you're going to like a sit-down meal at a new place, I don't want to be the person that asks for silverware if it's not on the table. Because like you brought up like Ethiopian food. You're supposed to basically like scoop it up with the bread.
Right.
But like if I don't want to look like I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, I know.
And that's part of the panic. And take even the food out of it. I also need to know how to properly eat the food so I don't offend anybody.
But I can't do chopstick at all.
You get the fork?
I can't. So I cannot do it. Like I'm amazed at, like when I see people just grab it and go on.
Yeah.
I can't do it. I'm completely spaz on chopstick.
You know what bothers me? You know, for years I like worked on it. So
me too. I tried.
And then I watched like a movie, a documentary where
you're not doing it right.
No, they're just Asian people just scoop the rice in their mouth.
It's that old dainty. Yeah, they just chow.
I was dainty eating like grain by grain of rice. Thinking that's what you were supposed to do.
That's an American thing.
Okay, shut up. It's an American thing, man. I'm a little worldly. I'm Tommy.
I scoop. I shovel.
252 WCMF. This conversation starts with Cafe Manzara. It's a new restaurant open in Brighton. They specialize in Turkish food, and the story makes the food look really good.
Yeah, I want to go.
I do, too, but I don't know what we're ordering.
We're just going to eat.
It is very intimidating.
Eat the special of the day.
What's special of the day?
Everything.
Kalash. But, you know, to introduce yourself to a new world of food, you need a bridge person. And here's the thing. This can also happen with more common ethnic foods.
Like what?
Well, we brought up Italian, Mexican, and Chinese.
Yeah, you're standard.
There are some very popular Italian, Mexican, and Chinese restaurants in Rochester that have menus that have two parts to them. Because, like, the first few pages are the standard stuff everybody knows.
Yeah.
And then when you get towards the back, there's stuff for people from the old country.
So it gets a little rootsy.
You got it.
A little soul food style.
It looks confusing.
Mm-hmm.
And you would need to be with someone who is straight up Italian, Mexican, or Chinese to explain what you are trying. And how do you know when you walk into a place without someone like that, that that's not the best damn food you've ever tried?
Well, then you just got to roll the dice.
But, okay, I also don't want to spend a bunch of money on a meal that I'm going to take one bite. And I don't want to be rude to the people working there.
Yeah.
Right? Like, oh my God, what's the Chinese restaurant in 12 Corners?
Oh, Chen Garden.
Yes. Like, the back of their menu,
that thing is vast.
But, like, you start to get to some places where it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
And I'd love to try it.
But
I need someone to explain to me what it is. And I don't want to be like, hey, take 10 minutes and walk me through five dishes here while I'm looking at this menu, please.
Does this business exist? Like a... What would you call it? Like somebody
Bridge Friend Incorporated?
Yes, like somebody
to take
that,
you around.
Like if you list the things that you're sensitive to, like I only like this level of spice, I don't like this type of food, or I don't eat fish, whatever, and then they can introduce you to these new places and tell you what to get off the menu.
That's not a terrible idea.
Yeah.
But you're also describing a food tour.
Yeah, but...
Which Tommy makes fun of all the time.
Yes.
Not so much a food tour, but let's say you go to this person if there's a new restaurant that you want to try, and they can pick things off the menu that they think you would like best.
So like a food sommelier?
Yeah.
For like a picky eater.
Okay.
Like they can't handle certain things.
Well, no, but I would want that. But here's the thing. Who has that much...
Oh, there are plenty of people that... I mean, they're the first people to try these restaurants
Hold on. There are two different kinds of people.
Yeah.
There are people who actually know how this works, right? And then there are people who think they understand foreign food, ethnic food, and they're full of crap. Like one guy used to tell you he was your boss. That's like that type of guy.
Yeah.
I don't want to go out with that guy. It's called ice cream.
Well, you don't have to go out with these people. It's more so they're giving you advice.
Okay.
Then they're just kind of walking you through the menu.
It's like a life coach, but for a food coach.
Food coach. There it is.
Okay.
Nailed it.
You should do it.
I don't know enough about food. You need somebody who's an expert.
Yeah, let's have the blonde white girl walk me through the ethnic food, please. I got a lot of faith in this kid.
We have seen her eat.
Yes.
Yeah, and she is a big fan of the
Chinese
buffet.
I'd be great at snacks, like as a snack coach. Not so
snack
much
coach.
Snack coach?
Not so much a coach international snack. Food coach.
You know, there are some places that kind of give you the ability to do this.
Like at their joints?
Well, foot in the door restaurants. Mm. For example, Juan and Maria's empanada shop, right? Like, you know, most places you would get empanadas, you may, at least used to be, afraid to walk in not knowing how delicious they are. Juan and Maria's empanada shop offers empanadas that have more common ingredients that allow you
not too rootsy.
But it allows you to step into.
Yeah.
There's another place called Nantastic. But it's like Chipotle for Indian food. So you walk in, they have all of the ingredients laid out. They make you like a rice bowl.
Is that the joint in the gas station?
No, that's the, oh God, I love that place. The Donner Bowl.
You told me.
I go there twice a week.
Yeah.
I love that joint. But no, Nantastic, it's Americanized Indian food.
Okay.
And it's enough where you can try new things while still getting something that you understand. And that has kind of helped me with my Indian food journey.
Look at you.
But
you're on your journey.
I'm telling you, man. Well, I mean, you know.
But there are always going to be those snobs that say, well, you're not doing the real thing. You're not getting the real experience.
All those guys that say, like, I like the meat to speak for itself.
You're not supposed to put any sauce on it.
Bro, if I'm spending $50 on a steak, why not just get a hamburger and put steak sauce on it? It's the same damn thing.
Here we go.
It's true.
Here we go.
If I'm going to spend a lot of money on a steak,
goes the pet food alarm.
Why do you do such a good alarm?
Yeah, seriously. Well, he's used to hearing it every time he walks in a room full of women. Creepy old man! You know, as we're just talking about the history of food in Rochester well we do it, what makes this story remarkable, especially for this business, they may be the only born and bred historical Rochester food business that has been able to pull off what they have pulled off here. You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. I have in front of me a list of the 10 best regional subs in America.
Subs?
Yeah, you got it. Right. Places that...
We do subs right here.
We do.
Yeah.
We do.
This is Subtown.
There is only one place from Rochester that has made this list. Would you like to take a guess which one it is?
I'm going to say DeBella's.
You nailed it. DeBella's was named the 8th best sub in America when it came to regional sub shops. And I agree with you.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. DeBella's has 39 locations now in 5 states.
Mm. I did not know that.
It seems that they just keep growing. Did the people who own Wendy's buy a piece of DeBella's?
Wegmans bought into it because they use their stuff.
You always say this, and we always have to correct you.
Right.
I think
there are a lot of Wendy's near DeBella's. I don't know if that's coincidence.
I think they own a piece of it, right? But here's what's weird about DeBella's. Now, I agree with you, man. DeBella's is amazing.
Yeah, it's top shelf.
Now, they've been around for over 100 years, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Started. Like Lincoln had one here when he was on that train.
What did that sound like? You can't do Lincoln, you bitch. Do Lincoln.
I don't know what he sounds like. I always have a feeling like they all these old people had like really high squeaky voices.
What do you think Lincoln sounded like when he was eating at DeBella's stuff?
Why can't everybody do that? He's really stinky here, too. Can you shovel these guys under the machine?
But he also what happened when he got shot in the back of the head, not the mouth, you idiot.
But I always, like, every time I say, like, historical figures, I find, like, some lost tape of them.
I know, they are not as powerful as
they don't sound like it at all, man.
It's funny you say that. I watched a recording of Rocky Marciano last night. Greatest boxer of all time.
It's all very nasally. Everybody, and I don't know if that's due to the recording equipment at the time.
I must have been the air was so polluted back then.
Anyway, going back to this, DiBella's may have done something that no other restaurant in Rochester history has done.
Yeah.
Been successful outside of Rochester.
Expansion, right?
Yeah, you got it. Because, like, look, Tahoe's, we're known for it. It's great. They have not done well when they've tried to get outside of Rochester.
Even when other people try to just replicate it elsewhere, it just flops.
Yeah.
Bill Gray's, Tom Walls, they tried to expand in other regions, right? And they're great. Mm-hmm. We love Bill Gray's. We love Tom Walls. It didn't work.
Yeah.
All of the delicious places to eat we have here in Rochester that are Rochester-born and bred, none of them have had success outside of our area except for DiBella's.
Mm-hmm. And it's weird because, like, every region has sandwiches like that. I mean, what sets them apart?
Not like that.
It's got to be the bread.
I think the bread is number one for most people.
It's got to be the bread. What else?
No, it's always you Italians. It's always the bread.
No,
it's got to be the bread.
Think about
it.
It's
the bread, though. It's the bread.
It
ain't the cheese and the salami. Yeah. It's the same. What's the difference?
All the cold cuts are coming from the same places.
Right.
It's how you build the sandwich.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, here we go.
Okay, that's part of it. But
But
you need this hearty bread to hold in the hearty stackings.
Hearty Stackins is one of my favorite country singers from the 1970s. Ladies and gentlemen, Hearty Stackins. Did he open up Ribs, Arkansas? It was the Stackins, Arkansas tour of 74.
Didn't Chexy Jackson open it?
Was it Chexy or Chesty?
Well, either way.
Remember when Abe Lincoln got a hold of that Chexy Busty? Shut up.
Busty Jackson?
Thank you. Yeah. No, man. Look, I agree with you. The bread's dynamite.
Yeah.
Right? But it's more than just the bread. They know how to put a sandwich
together.
Maybe
it's that oil, but that good sub oil.
No, they do have their own DiBella's oil.
They do?
Yes, you idiot.
I also wonder how are they comparing them? Like, I feel like you have to hold the same sub at each of these places side by side.
Well, but see, here's the thing. I mean? So some of these places don't have the same stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Well, for example, the list here includes Wawa. You guys are familiar with Wawa.
Yeah.
People are crazy for that goddamn gas station.
It's good.
I get it, but is it that good? So their subs are that good?
Yeah, I mean, look, you are...
I mean, people go there just for their food.
Oh,
They don't even get gas.
You would be shocked by how...
They're massive.
I didn't believe it either, and then I went to a Wawa just because people told me I had to try it. It was good.
I get the draw.
Like, Permane Brothers from Pittsburgh is on here.
Well, that's the one where they shove
that's
everything
really
in the bread.
Sub. Are we talking sandwiches?
Okay, it says regional sub. What do you want from me?
I don't see the Permane Bros as a sub. It's on, like, just thick bread.
Okay, I'm sorry. Best regional sandwich chains. Is that better?
Okay.
Is that better?
Yeah, because Permane Bros sandwiches and subs in my mind are slightly different.
Okay. I have the number one in front of me. Regional sandwich chain in America.
York.
Nope. East Coast, you're not going to like this.
Is it a place that calls them hoagies?
Oh, I know where it is.
What is it?
It's Philly.
No.
Oh, that's what I was thinking.
That's what she said, hoagie.
Yeah. Hoagies.
The number one. Regional sandwich maker.
It better not be the South.
Oh my! It's the South.
Oh,
they don't know their ass from bread.
He's about to lose his mind.
No, we learned that the water is different.
Oh my God!
It changes the bread.
It's got too much sulfur in the water. You're literally drinking when you eat bread in the South. You are tasting alligator urine.
If you think he's mad now when I say who it is, he's gonna blow up. This list named Publix as the number one regional sandwich seller in America.
So they're a sub.
Yes.
The Publix sub, which is famous in Florida.
The pub subs, they're called.
Yeah. They're big down there.
I've never had one. Have you had one?
Yeah, they're just standard.
So you would say then Publix subs are better than Wegmans?
No, of course not.
Not according to this list.
No.
Wegmans didn't make this list.
You know what I'm surprised?
What's that?
Is Miami with the Cuban sandwich.
Okay.
Because that is like the killer sandwich. How did they not make the cut?
Well, these are chains. Maybe there's not a chain that does it really well.
All right. Yeah.
Oh, by the way, if you've been to the Midwest, Portillo's is on here, too. It's a Chicago chain. That's really, really good.
Okay.
And I'm looking at some of these other sandwiches. Like, here's how sad I am.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to figure out where to travel to try some of these sandwiches because they look unbelievably good.
Oh, like what?
Like, I'm looking at this place called Dave's Cosmic Subs. It's in Ohio. I've heard of it. I haven't tried it before.
Yeah.
Oh, buddy.
What's it got on?
I'm looking at it now. I'm looking at, like, coleslaw, jalapeno, looks like capicola, little lettuce, bread looks good.
One problem I have with subs when they start overdoing it, like when you're shoving too much stuff in there.
There's no such thing as too much stuff.
No, there is. Have you ever heard of Sandwich U?
No.
It's a chain that's in a lot of college towns, and it is, like, it's layers of fried food on a sandwich. So it's, like... mozzarella sticks, chicken fingers,
it's a mess.
Meatballs, red sauce, french fries, like all shoved into one sandwich.
It's and always that, like you're trying too hard.
Shut up.
It's kind of like, does this all really go together or is this just for drunk people?
Okay, that sounds delicious.
And people do get gross with their subs.
What does that even mean?
They just get stuff like that when they start like adding like I've seen people put ketchup on subs, which grosses
me
out.
Okay, that's weird. That is weird.
And so I told you, so my niece, when she was a kid, she worked at a Miami sub shop, and they're all over South Florida. And she had a guy come in.
Miami, by the way, is the name of the chain.
Yeah, it's a Miami sub shop.
She sounded like an idiot. She worked at a Miami sub shop, and Miami has sandwich places all over the place.
It's called Miami Subs.
Okay.
And the logo kind of looks like the old Miami Vice theme, you know? So she had a guy come in every day, and he would order his sub, and she would tell her this every time, put as much mayonnaise on it as you can. Ugh. And she said it would be like dripping out the size, like it's a Ron Jeremy shoot.
Oh, didn't they call that the Edie? But for those who don't know, Edie Mulet, the name of Tommy's mother.
And she liked mayonnaise. But like, it was
yes,
so, it's like, it grossed
all
her
down her face.
But my niece can't even think about it anymore. It was so gross to just put it together.
No, I mean, I get that. Yes, yeah. If you're making,
you overdo it.
Okay, most places don't.
No, because they'll make a sub any way you want.
No, I get
but
it.
But that Perini guy with the pizza, that
Permanis.
Yeah, I've been to that joint.
I love those sandwiches.
I do not get it.
I will say this: it's great when you're drunk.
No, I love them.
Go there at lunchtime.
It's a
different
sandwich.
Look.
Yeah.
Yeah, potato sandwich. Look, my daughter has had hockey tournaments in Pittsburgh the last 3 years. I get excited because I get to go get a Permani Brothers sandwich.
I also love bacon. I don't want it on a sub.
Oh, my God. Get the... I almost cursed.
I don't want bacon sub. I like a BLT, but with subs...
That is a bacon sub.
No,
a bacon sub is Italian. It has to have Italian ingredients. I don't want your Wisconsin pork on my goddamn bread.
Shut up. Shut up. Why do I ever argue
about...
Do
you like bacon on your sub?
Some subs I will have bacon on, yes, if they got it.
That is so West Side
shit. Shut up, you stupid ass bitch.
I
need
some bacon on your tuna Friday.
No, everybody knows the corned beef sub is the best sub.
No.
Yeah. I like it, but it's not my go-to.
No, it's a...
If I'm going to go sub, I'm going straight up Italian.
No, bro, Italian sub is so base. It's base.
All over it.
All?
Yeah. I want greasy cold cuts, and I want sharp cheese.
Okay,
that's a sub.
The base sub. No, man.
Yeah, it is a base sub. Yeah. It's what the original sub.
It's the original sub.
No, wait. Yeah. The Bella's hot corned beef sub is the best sandwich in the world,
in my
opinion.
I've never been a corned beef person.
Oh, it's so good.
I like corned beef, but...
Melted cheese, some caramelized onions. Oh. Maybe some mushrooms.
So do you go warm sub or cold sub as your go-to sub?
I always go hot sub. If I can go hot sub, I go hot sub.
I go cold first. Yeah. I like warm sub, but I like cold first.
Yeah.
Ah.
The original sub.
Really?
Yeah.
Hot sub better than cold sub. Everybody
it
knows.
Is, but I
depends
feel like
what
I'm
you're
not,
eating.
Yeah, but if I'm going
in my
for
mood.
Sub.
I also don't want a hot sub on a summer day.
No way, man. It keeps the sub hot while you're eating it.
Yeah.
Okay, let's take a
break. That's a winter sub.
Let's take a break. All right.